Thank you, Max, for leading us in song as we raised our voices in praise to our Almighty God. Thank you, David, for the very good prayer that you led us in a few moments ago. And thank you, Steve, for giving us that reading of the scripture there from Colossians chapter 3. And I invite everyone to keep your Bibles open this morning as we engage in a lesson this morning titled, Keep Christ In. Around December 25th, we often hear the expression, keep Christ in Christmas. I venture to say that you've heard that a lot lately, haven't you? However, to the surprise of many, Christ never was in Christmas. You see, it is impossible to keep Christ in something in which he never was in. Now, although Christ never has been in Christmas, we can, however, make some good use out of the expression, keep Christ in. So with that thought in mind, let's go to the scriptures this morning and let's look at some valuable lessons in regard to some things in which we need to keep Christ in. And I begin this morning by reminding us that we need to keep Christ in the position of authority. You see, although there are some who attempt to take Christ out of the position of authority, we must keep Christ in the position of authority. For as we learn there in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, all authority has been given to Christ and it belongs to him. There in Matthew 28, in the context there, Jesus is commissioning his apostles. And there Jesus himself said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You see, we need to be mindful of the fact that Christ is the one who has been given all power. He is the one who has that right to command, and we need to be keeping him in the position of authority. Knowing that, we need not to be a people who question the authority of Jesus Christ. Sadly, there are some who do question the authority of Jesus Christ. We have an example of that given for us there in Matthew chapter 21. And there in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 23, we learned that there were some religious leaders in the first century who questioned Jesus' authority. They simply asked him there, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? Some things haven't changed much, have they? Sadly, there are some religious folks today who still question the authority of Jesus when it comes to spiritual matters. However, we need to be mindful of the fact that all authority belongs to Christ and has been given to him. And when the question comes up, who has given him that authority, we need to be reminded of the fact that it is God the Father who has given him that authority. Knowing that, we need to keep Christ in the position of authority, and we need to respect his authority. And we need to be a people who do all that we do by the authority of Jesus Christ. Going back to the scripture reading that Steve so ably read for us a few moments ago there from Colossians chapter 3. We learned there in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 where the instruction was given, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. To be simply put, when the apostle gave Christians the instruction to do all that they do, whether in word or deed, by the name of the Lord Jesus, he was telling them to do all that you do by the authority of Jesus. We need to be mindful of that. And we need to keep Jesus Christ in the position of authority. And we must always abide in the doctrine of Christ and only in his doctrine. As we mentioned earlier, there are some who attempt to take Christ out of the position of authority. There are some in the religious world who question his authority concerning spiritual matters. But when it comes to doctrine, that is, when it comes to the teaching of things regarding spiritual matters, we must always abide in the doctrine that is the teachings of Christ. And we must always be one who follows His teaching and only His teaching. We learned the seriousness of this there in 2 John verse 9. And there in 2 John verse 9, John said, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have the Father. But he who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." You see the seriousness of being one who transgresses the doctrine of Christ there? Without a doubt you do. And it's because of that that we must respect the authority of Jesus Christ. Why we must abide in His doctrine only. And why we must keep Christ in the position of authority. But another thing we need to keep Christ in is we need to keep Christ in as head of the church. You see, there are some churches today that have men heading up their church. I venture to say that you're familiar with some so-called churches today who have men heading up that church. However, Christ is to be the head of the church, not men. And there in Ephesians chapter 1, along with Colossians chapter 1, we learn where the Bible affirms that Christ is the head of the church. Notice with me these words of the Apostle Paul there in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 22, in regard to this matter. There the Apostle wrote, "And He, that being God the Father, put all things under His, that being Jesus Christ, feet, and gave Him, that being Christ, to be what? To be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." Not only did Paul affirm there in Ephesians chapter 1 in his epistle to the saints in Ephesus the fact that Christ is the head of the church, but he also affirmed it in his epistle that he wrote to the saints in Colossae there in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, that Christ is head of the church. You see, now that we know that Christ is the head of the church, we need to be reminded of the fact that the body, that is the church as we see there in verse number 22 of Ephesians chapter 1, that it can only do as the head directs. Are you aware of that? You see, since Christ is the head of the church, His body, can only do as He directs. We learn about this in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Ephesians chapter 5. And notice these words of the inspired apostle beginning in verse number 23. There Paul writes, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church." There it is again. Affirming the fact that Christ is the head of the church, and He is Savior of the body. Knowing that, Paul says in verse number 24, "Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ." You see that? Simply put, what Paul is saying there is Christ is head of the church, and because He is head of the church is subject to Him. Again, the church can only do as the head, that being Christ, directs. And the church must submit and do all that it does according to Christ, because He is the head of the church, and it is He who controls the body. Therefore, the body is to be subject to the head. Therefore, always remember the fact that the preeminence belongs only to Jesus Christ. Again, there are some men who attempt to take Christ out of the position of the head of the church. There are some men who want to be first and foremost in the church. But we need to be mindful of the fact that the head of the church is Jesus Christ, and the preeminence belongs only to Him. Paul affirms this there in Colossians chapter 1. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Colossians chapter 1. And notice these words of Paul beginning there in verse number 16 in reference to Jesus Christ. He said, "For by Him," again that being Christ, "all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he, that being Christ Jesus, may have the preeminence. Remember that, and be mindful of the fact that we must keep Christ in as head of the church, and that all preeminence belongs to him. But another thing we need to keep Christ in is we need to keep Christ in our preaching and teaching. Unfortunately, there are many today who are taking Christ out of their preaching and teaching and are filling it with the philosophy of men or the doctrines of men. And we need to be mindful of the fact that when it comes to our preaching and teaching of spiritual matters, that we need to keep Christ in our preaching and teaching. We notice that the New Testament, the theme of the New Testament preaching was that of Jesus Christ. We learn about that, right? We see this throughout the New Testament scriptures. That in the first century, what was their focus upon? Was it upon the philosophy of men? Was it upon the teachings of men? Absolutely not. It was upon the preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ. Some examples of that for us are given there in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. And there in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, we learn that when Philip went down to Samaria, he preached Christ. We also see there in Acts chapter 8, fast forwarding down there to verse 35, that when Philip came across the Ethiopian eunuch, what did he preach to him? He preached Christ. And I want us to notice the words of the Apostle Paul found there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5 what the Apostle said. The Apostle Paul says there, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, our Lord." Again, we need to be mindful of the fact that our preaching and teaching needs to be centered around Christ Jesus, our Lord. And we need to know that it pleases God when Christ is preached. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of the fact that God is pleased when Christ is preached? You see, we learn about this there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 21. The fact that it pleases God when the message of Christ is preached, as we see in the context there. And knowing that, I want us to be mindful of what it is that pleases God. Preaching of Christ pleases God. Not the teachings of men. Not the teaching and preaching of the philosophy of men. Not the preaching and teaching to entertain and please men. But the preaching of Jesus Christ is what pleases God. And it's because of that that we must not be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, there are some today who act like they're ashamed to stand before others and preach and teach Christ Jesus. But we must never be ashamed to preach and teach the gospel of Christ to others. And we need to be like the Apostle Paul, who there in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why, Paul? "For it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, for the Jew first and also the Greek." Remember that. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. That is why we need to be keeping Christ in our preaching and teaching. And we need to strive not only not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but also to boldly make known the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. We learn there in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 19, where the Apostle Paul encouraged the saints of Ephesus after he gave them that list of the whole armor of God. He tells them to continue always in prayer. And then he makes a request. He asked them to also pray for him. And why did he make that request for their prayers? That he may boldly open his mouth and make known the mystery of the gospel. Just as the Apostle Paul desired to boldly make known the gospel of Jesus Christ to others, let us keep Christ in our teaching and preaching and boldly make known Christ to others. But another thing we need to keep Christ in is we need to keep Christ in the Christian. It's important to note that the word Christian simply means Christ-like. And we learn there in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26 that disciples of Jesus Christ were first called Christians in Antioch. You see, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we wear the name Christian. And it is because of that that we need to keep Christ in the Christian. We need to be one who imitates Christ Jesus, our Lord. The Apostle Paul made the saints in Corinth mindful of this there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. And there Paul specifically told the saints in Corinth to imitate him as he imitates who? Christ Jesus. Remember that. And we need to be mindful to be a people as Christians, as children of God, who imitate Jesus Christ, our Lord. We need to be keeping Christ in the Christian. And Christians need to walk. That is, they need to pattern their lives as Christ walked. I want us to notice these words of admonition found there in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. And there in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, it's recorded, "He who says he abides in him," that being Jesus Christ, "ought himself also to walk just as he walked." Simply put, what John was saying is, if you say that you are in Christ, if you say that you are a Christian, you need to walk. That is, you need to pattern your life like his. You need to be Christ-like. And we need to be mindful of the need to keep Christ in the Christian. And Christians need to let the world see Christ living in them. When I think about that, I'm mindful of the words of Paul found there in Philippians chapter 2. And here in Philippians chapter 2, notice these words of Paul beginning there in verse number 14. Again, Paul is addressing Christians here. And he says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." Why, Paul? "That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." Hold on to that instruction of the inspired Apostle Paul. Make proper application of that in your lives as dear children of God. And be a people who do all things without complaining and disputing. Be blameless and harmless children of God who shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And let the world see Christ living in you. But another thing that we need to be keeping Christ in is we need to keep Christ in as being the Savior of the body. You see, unfortunately, it is believed and taught by many today that you can be saved without being a member of anything. Many believe and teach that. That you can be saved without being a member of anything. Many believe and teach that it's okay to go to any church of your choice. Many believe that. Many teach that. However, we need to be mindful of the fact that we need to be keeping Christ in as the Savior of the body. Why? Well, simply because the Bible teaches that there is only one body. We learn about that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. And the Bible, being its own best commentary, tells us that the one body is the church. Again, going back there to Colossians chapter 1, we see the Bible being its own best commentary there. Notice with me, going back there to Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 18. We see that Christ is head of the body, which is what? The church. Dropping down there to verse 24, we see this again. When Paul writes, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body," which is what, Paul? Which is the church. You see that? Simple, isn't it? You see, the Bible says there is one body. Ephesians 4:4. The Bible teaches that the body is the church, as we see here in Colossians 1:18 and verse 24. Knowing that, if there is one body, then there is only one true church. We need to be mindful of that. And now some may be asking, well, if there's only one body, and the body is the church, then how do I get in that one body? That's a good question. That's a very good question. And the Bible gives us the answer to that question there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn over there with me, if you will, there to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12, notice again these words of Paul. He says, "For as the body is one," again the Bible emphasizing the fact that there is just one body. "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Now notice verse 13. This is how one enters that one body. "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." You see that? That's important. And you want to know why that's important? That's important because the Bible teaches that Christ is the Savior of the body. You see, again, many contend that you can join and be a member of any church of your choice. It doesn't matter. But the Bible says it does matter. The Bible says that Christ is not the Savior of the bodies, that is, the Savior of the churches, but rather He is the Savior of the body, the church, singular. And we see here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. Go back there with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. The reason why it's important that we keep Christ in as being the Savior of the body. For as we learn here in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 23, Christ is head of the church and is the Savior of the body. You see, although Christ has been taken out of being the Savior of the body, the church, that is the church that was founded by Jesus Christ, the church which Christ established, the church which Christ purchased His own blood for. Although many have taken Him out of being the Savior of the body, the church, we need to keep Christ in as being the Savior of the body, the church. Knowing the importance of that, and knowing that unless one is a part of the body, the church, they are not going to be a part of those who are saved. Again, Jesus is the Savior of the body. And in order to be saved, we must be a part of that one body. Once more, the phrase, "keep Christ in," is not a bad idea, provided we keep Him in the right things. Now the question is, are you in Christ? Are you? Have you put Christ on through baptism, as we learned there in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27? If not, why not put Him on through baptism this very hour? For you have heard the word of God, and if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ before men, and you could be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. All things are ready. We got water behind us. And you can put Christ on through baptism this very hour. And you too can become a part of the one body. And you too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we must continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who's already submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you've not been faithful. Maybe you haven't walked as Christ walked. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path. You're encouraged to repent of your sins and to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour. And if you'd like to request the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song, Maxis Lemons.